We used to live our lives in harmony with nature. There was a close link between man and the world around him. But that's no longer the case, and we need to get back in touch with the planet. That's according to Professor Jules Pretty, author of The Earth Only Endures.
If you think of the kind of history of humans, we've had something like 300,000 generations living close to the land, and we've only become industrialized in the past 6 to 8 generations. And it's only in that last little bit that we've become somewhat disconnected from nature. If you squeeze that whole of human history into 1 week, then the industrialized bit is just 3 seconds before midnight on the last day. And that's the periods that brought disconnections from nature. And as it happens at the same time, severe environmental problems of many sorts.
Now, if it is just 3 seconds worth, surely we can't have done that much damage or travelled that far, have we?
In all human history, we've caused some small changes, tend to be localised ones, but it is in this last period that we've engaged in what biologists call the sixth great species extinction. The fifth one saw off the dinosaurs. And of course, we have big problems now like global climate change, ozone layer problems, destruction of rainforests and so forth, which are now kind of really large scale and show the scale of our effects, really.
And is it about urbanisation or is it something else?
Well, I think it's modes of modern economic development are having a severe impact on the environment across the world. If you kind of think about the drivers of consumption patterns, really, are the things that are affecting the environment. And if you look at people's aspirations across the world, it rather seems as though most people are aspiring for a lifestyle that's rather like a North American one or perhaps a European one. And if you just compare a couple of indicators, like the number of cars, there are 75 cars for every 100 people in the United States, including the elderly and the babies. In China, there are 0.7 cars for every 100 people. And what do people in China want to be like now? Largely, many of them. What would they like to have? It would be modern cars and other kind of accoutrements of modern economic development. And you could say, and why shouldn't they? After all, we do that kind of thing. The trouble is, if the whole world consumed at the same levels as North America, we'd need about 8 Earths to resource it. And we've clearly only got the one. So underpinning the challenges that we have from the environment are these kind of really rather severe drivers about consumption patterns and our modes of economic development.
Is that really generally still increasing, or is there not maybe a sort of a pullback? Because there are more people nowadays who say, well, you know what, I want to go back to the land, I'd like to live in the countryside, I want to be away from lots of people and industrialization. Or is those people so few that they're not really making any impact?
That's the optimistic bit, and you're dead right to point that out, that people are beginning to realize these problems. But when you add them up, they don't add up to enough of our 6.5 billion people who are thinking like that yet. And I think a lot of the problem that we face is trying to create aspirational lifestyles so that people could say, oh yes, I'd want to live like that. That's what I should be like, or my family should be like, or even our country should be like. Our models are really rather few at the moment, and many of the environmentally sensitive opportunities appear to be ones that mean we've got to suffer a bit. You know, wear a hair shirt and everything will be all right. Well, I'm afraid that might be true, but it's not going to work. So we need some very different approaches to energy policy, transport, food policy, a whole range of other things that will, you know, allow us to live and save the planet at the same time.
And what might these different policies look like?
If you take something like food policy, the whole food system contributes around about 20% of the global warming potential. In the United States, it's about 30%. It's around about a third of all of their emissions. And a large amount of the emissions come from what are now called food miles, the environmental costs that come from transporting food from the farm gate to our plates. And if food were more localized rather than moved around from one part of the country to be packed and brought back again to be eaten, if it were localized, we would actually have quite a significant impact on climate change, and at the same time perhaps bring consumers rather more closer to where the food is produced, which I think is going to be a good thing.
And is that really possible if we want to maintain the kinds of lifestyles we have now?
Well, I think it's actually really difficult to imagine doing this on a big scale, because again, you can imagine food policy localizing and working for vegetables and fruits and maybe cheeses and other kinds of things. But you're not going to go to your farmer's market and buy a ton of wheat. And yet it's those big commodities are the things that get moved around. So we really need some bright thinking to come up with ways of doing things very differently that are going to be environmentally sensitive. to be honest, I don't think we've really even started those debates seriously at the moment.
That's Professor Jules Pretty. His book, The Earth Only Endures, is published by Earthscan.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.